We certainly do have a lot to talk about. We had the Dow off over 200 points, S&P in the red, the NASDAQ, though, holding on to gains. And for more on that, we want to bring in Marco Papich. He is a Clock Tower Group's chief strategist. And Marco, just taking a look at what's working and what's not working in today's market action, just in terms of some of the sector action that we're seeing, industrials, consumer staples, and real estate responsible for a lot of the losses that we're seeing today. What do you make of the action?
I think, I mean, it's one day's action. So I think the broader issue for me from a macro perspective would be that bond yields have moved higher. Not massively so, but I think that's really precipitating a lot of the moves in the market. And it's this, we had summer doldrums, not a lot of action, not a lot of trading. And then you get disappointments on the fiscal front on Thursday with Joe Manchin penning that important op-ed in the Wall Street Journal where he said he wanted to press pause on fiscal. The market does not react to that at all. It just ignores it, which I think is correct because he's just negotiating. But then on Friday, you get, of course, the miss on employment. And I think that that actually causes the market to say, hold on a second. The Fed may very well be more dovish than expected. Bond yields start moving after that. So I think that's the most important macro signal right now. And I think it's no doubt that you're going to have some indigestion in the stock market if investors start thinking that yields are going to move higher.
What do you think, I guess, that means then more specifically for the Fed? You talk about the fact that it was obviously a huge disappointment. So there was talk going into it that if it was going to be a very weak number, then the Fed would possibly delay its taper timeline. I guess, how significantly do you see the Fed delaying its timeline as a result of that?
Well, I mean, at the same time, you have Delta hitting an inflection point. The Delta of the Delta variant cases is slowing down, in other words. So there's a lot of different cross currents here. And I think that what the numbers on Friday may cause the Fed to do is not necessarily delay the taper, but create a more dovish taper. In other words, basically ensure that the process of tapering takes longer than is expected by the market right now. So let's say by the end of 2022 or into 2023, which then, of course, would signal that the liftoff in rates is going to be pushed off into 2023, which brings up all sorts of questions for us as macro investors, because we've never really had a significant liftoff in rates ahead of a general election. And that would be seen as quite dovish. You can, in other words, tinker with the taper in such a way as to be more dovish, even if you don't delay it itself. And so what I would watch right now from a macro top-down perspective is whether the yields really break 140 and start reaching to 150. Because at that point, you know, you're going to have some of the trades that really worked over the last several months, they're going to start reversing, and we'll be in that pre-March reflation trade narrative again very quickly if that happens.
And Marco, you know what's interesting with this growth versus value debate that we've had, and we've seen kind of the leadership rotate a couple of times over the last, what, year and a half or so, but now we have seen growth come back into favor. I mean, today we have Apple hitting a record intraday high, also Netflix right around its record high as well. Just in terms of what you expect us to lead us higher in the next leg, how would you be positioned?
Well, I think there's still a lot of uncertainties. And so for the next month, I'm comfortable with growth leading. I think that the median investor has not bought the view that this cycle is meaningfully different. And so I think that you need three uncertainties to resolve themselves. One is COVID. I have a high conviction view on that, but maybe others don't. Two is China. China needs to stabilize growth and probably do more than just cut interest rates, which is what we're expecting. And then third, you do need a resolution on the fiscal package in the U.S. So I think for the next 30 days, from a trading perspective, I can see growth still outperforming. But if you're looking to set up yourself for the next 12 months, then I do think that value is going to take over from growth. And I think those reflation trades from earlier this year will reassert themselves. And that's because all three levels of uncertainty, fiscal policy in the U.S., China, and COVID, will resolve themselves in favor of value and cyclical plays.
Marco, what about the state of the consumer? Because I think we've gotten some conflicting reports over the last couple of weeks. When you take a look at the retail sales number, when you take a look at the consumer confidence, consumer sentiment numbers that we've gotten out, and then compare that to what we're hearing from some of the biggest retailers out there, their numbers have been very strong. The executives, the CEOs on the call have been saying that some of the trends that they have been seeing are extremely positive going forward. Is the consumer in a position of strength, do you think, from your perspective?
Oh, absolutely. I would ignore the consumer sentiment completely. I mean, everybody was ready for the YOLO summer, right? And then, you know, Delta came along. I mean, how is the consumer supposed to feel? Obviously, consumer confidence is picking that up. But I think that when you look at, you know, household leverage, when you look at, you know, delinquency rates, when you look at willingness to lend to consumers by the financial institutions, we are in a completely different setup, dramatically so from 2009. After 2008, you know, you had this doldrum period of several years, when the U.S. consumer just picked up their toys and left for home, like did not want to be part of the global economy at all. Repair of balance sheets, you know, new financial regulation that made it more difficult to lend to the consumer. Today, you have the diametrically opposing set of macro contexts. So this cycle is beginning, and it's taking shape with the consumer flush with cash, flush with 401ks, flush with real estate valuations, and in no way facing any delinquencies or household balance sheet repair. And so we're setting ourselves up for a very strong, I think, 12, 24 months in terms of consumers. Now, obviously, there are problems, but the problems are not on the demand side, they're on the supply side. So it's more difficult to buy a car or, you know, chip delays, things like that. But that will simply prolong the cycle. It's not a negative insofar as the consumer themselves. Consumers will continue to buy stuff. It's just going to take them longer to articulate their demand.
Marco Pavic, a senior or chief strategist, at Clock Tower Group. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us. Have a great day.